How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God, that's a great idea.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Wake up.
Alice 97.3.
Hey. All morning.
Alice 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Sarah's out. Mason's in. We're here live doing a show for you, and we've got trash coming up. Right now, though, I believe...
we got Fred Armisen tickets.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here's the phone number, 1-800-400-3697. Call that number right now. Be caller number 9, and you are going to win a pair of tickets for Fred Armisen October 27th at the Castro Theater. Again, caller number 9, 800-400-3697, all courtesy of Another Planet. And just a reminder, tomorrow, Maddie from 4 to 6 is going to be at Carrington College in Pleasant Hill. He's going to be there with the whole Alice crew. You're going to be given what? Shirts, swag, tickets.
All kinds of
everything,
stuff.
Everything. And it's part of the open house for people looking for some change in their careers and to check out classes and instructors and just get a feel of how awesome Carrington College is.
It's very I encourage you to check that out. That is a really big deal. You don't have to. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy, but it would be great. Oh, Bob is like trying to get our attention. What's the number?
Number 9.
We got it now. I just encourage you to consider it because you can change the path you're on if you really are bummed about what you're doing. And Carrington College might be a great way to get started with it.
It's neat. They have like setups there for like veterinary science. So like, you know, like skulls and things and, you know, and it's, hey man.
Hey, they've got skulls in face.
Hey, man.
That's his selling point. Come see the skulls.
All right, Mace. Trash us.
Okay, are you ready to talk about Summer House Reunion Part 1? Dun, dun, dun.
Not really, but I do appreciate that this is this is big stuff. I get it. I'm kind of up on it. I haven't seen anything recent. So
I'm going to give you the highlights.
Looking forward to the highlights. Yes.
All right. So first and foremost, Amanda and West finally addressed their relationship timeline. So basically, the entire thing revolved around explaining when their friendship turned romantic. And they claimed that they didn't sleep together until after releasing their public relationship statement in March, which is absolute garbage lies.
You don't believe it.
You don't release a relationship statement in March, which is what, you know, set this whole thing off if you hadn't already been doing something. Because if you had done it once and like maybe it sucked and like you wouldn't pursue a relationship, why would you release something if you haven't done anything else? I mean, that's clearly a lie. And the cast clearly wasn't buying that detail either. Amanda admitted that she kept things secret because she knew people would be upset, which is like, duh.
You know, that's one of those things where I feel like we've all been through at least this on one level or another where you've broken up with someone and everyone's like, yeah, man, that was not good for either of you. Good that thing you're apart. Mm-hmm. And then you get back together
and like,
you're ashamed.
Right.
You know that you shouldn't, like you've already gone public. You're broken up. Now you're back together and you see your friends and they're like, what are you doing? And I know that feeling. And I can't imagine why they would even go there with such a public sort of a public display of a lot. Like they burned that other lady that she's friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're brand new together. She already knows he's who he is.
Not the best person. She saw how he treated her best friend. Not well. I mean, this whole past season, she's saying he doesn't deserve you. You deserve like. It makes no sense.
So that's why where I'm headed with this is, isn't this what reality TV is supposed to be?
I mean, yeah, this is the Olympics
they're
of reality
doing,
TV.
They're doing the show as it should be done. It's supposed to be scandalous and ugly and nasty, and it is.
Well, to some extent, though, too, some of the Bravo shows like this one, that there is joy in the amount of fun that they were having, too, and getting along. Like, it's not always has to be drama. Like, some of the reality Bravo women's shows, like just the chaos that they get into, and they're silly and they're strange, and it sometimes can feel like, okay, I would want to hang out with this group and they're having fun. So there is that aspect of
it as well. Especially on Summer House, the point is it's a group of friends who are getting a house at the Hamptons. They're supposed to be partying. They're supposed to be hooking up. Like, yes, of course, drama is always good for the show, but it's not supposed to be contrived. These people are supposed to be living their real lives, and they are friends outside of the show.
So you're saying this group of reality TV stars, they were friends before. They were cast as group?
Some of them, yeah.
To the very beginning, that's how it started. That some of them, like Kyle and Lindsay, they had been summer housing together for years, which means you rent a house together on the weekend.
How does a Bravo find out about this random group of friends that get a summer house?
I believe Kyle pitched the show, is my understanding.
Oh, and someone said, okay, a bunch of good-looking people in a summer house on, where are they?
The Hamptons.
The Hamptons. But a lot of those shows, I think that's why even Vanderpump Rules originally, they were all waiters and waitresses at a restaurant, but they really had worked there together, and they really had relationships to begin with. That's why they're saying right now that the Real Housewives of Rhode Island, which is a new franchise that they're doing. I love how you're looking at me like, yes,
I don't know anything about it. Nothing.
That they have actual relationships. And that's why sometimes the shows are better, because they're not being forced. These aren't, you know, just work relationships where you're partying together. These are genuine friendships that have been around for years.
Yeah, that's why Secret Lives is so good, because they all really know each other and are in the same community.
There's higher stakes, which I think the audience feels.
So Summer House last night, they defended the new relationship.
They did what they showed last night, and there's three parts to the reunion, and I feel like they're going to do a little bit of Wes and Amanda in every part. Amanda seems to think she did nothing wrong, which I guess is her prerogative, but that just means she was never really a true friend to Sierra.
Absolutely.
Or she doesn't know what it means to be a true friend. Her defense was like, well, I couldn't help it. Like, I was developing feelings for him. None of you have ever been in this situation where you like someone who you're not supposed to like. She acts like she couldn't help herself, which I get on one level, but to also not take accountability and to not be forthright with it that's such a weenie.
That's the part that I think most people have the issue with. Because I remember in my sorority, like, one of the girls started dating one of the girls' boyfriends, and I remember telling my parents about it. You won't believe what Megan did to Cheryl. And I don't know their names, I'm making it up. But my dad was like, you can't help who you fall in love with. And I was like, shut up, David. But it's it's similar to that, but it's how you handle
circumstances. And I also don't really believe that it's love. I don't know if Wes is actually capable of being in love. I think he develops these strong emotional connections with lots of women and then moves on to the next one.
Well, you think now that this much of a fuss has been made, even if he wants to exit, he's a little bit stuck.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, he's got to at least wait for the next season to move on from Amanda.
Yep.
Or he's not even going to be a viewable.
He was literally hooking up with somebody else, like, while all of this was going
on.
At least one other person.
That's one of the bombshells that was dropped on the show last night.
Oh, okay.
He admitted he was also romantically involved with another woman, artist
Maya
Moreno, while things with Amanda were developing. He was wearing a tie that looks like a horse's tail.
It is literally horse hair.
Yeah. On Watch What Happens Live that she made. So
and she brought it over the night before, and they spent the night together. And this was like in the midst of him and Amanda supposedly developing something together.
He denied she was technically his girlfriend, but multiple casts.
Right in front of Amanda, he said that on the show last night. Mm-hmm. That's not my girlfriend.
Not about Amanda,
about the other girl.
She's very attractive.
He pulls beautiful women. He really does. And so he denied that she was technically his girlfriend. He's funny.
Ugh.
I'm funny. I'm not pulling that.
He's a weenie. You're not that funny. That's the problem. He's really funny.
I don't see funny coming out of that guy.
I was telling Maddie, he must have a swagger to him that you feel in person. He makes you feel special.
I would have fallen for him hook, line, and sinker. That guy is my type to a T. Not physically necessarily, because I like darker haired guys, but personality wise, I love that.
West,
and I hate that about myself. West Wilson.
West Wilson.
So he said that he denied that she was technically his girlfriend, but multiple cast members, especially Lindsay Hubbard, pushed back hard and implied the relationship was way more serious than he admitted. And Jesse Solomon, who is one of Wes's best friends, I mean, they
not
were
anymore.
Like, right. They were, did everything together. They had a very cute boy
Jesse
relationship.
And yes.
Bromance.
And why are they
a bromance.
Up?
Because of all of this, he became super emotional discussing how hurt he felt by Wes's dishonesty. Off-camera interviews revealed that he cried multiple times during the reunion filming because he genuinely thought Wes would come in more accountable and honest. So, you know, this has been similar to the Vanderpump scandal that happened back in the day, and that one of the guys, Tom, was aware of the whole cheating and facilitated it. And that is not the case, it seems, with Summer House, that Jesse was just as blindsided as everyone else.
And Vinny, so, Jesse and Sierra are also really good friends,
yes.
And they were all really good friends. So it's a big fracture to the whole friend group.
And he had a crush on Sierra and brought it up to West, and West was like, that's really awful thing for you to do. That's
my girlfriend.
Right. So, hypocrite much?
Yeah.
So if Amanda, we're talking about Summer House now, which I haven't seen, so I'm asking questions just to stay up on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if Amanda had said, I was into him before, and once he wanted me, I had to have it. Like, what if she'd been just super straight up?
That is kind of what she said, but her tone is not good. Her tone is like, screw you guys. Like, I like this guy,
right.
And I'm allowed to do what I want. You're acting like,
right,
I had an affair and I didn't actually do anything wrong. She's literally not seeing that her actions were. She's like, I feel bad that I hurt Sierra. It's like, well, then why did you hurt her?
You should have had that conversation and said, and
beforehand,
it would have sucked no matter
what.
She
had an opportunity to
she
be
didn't.
Up front, because when all the rumors started swirling, before they put out their bogus statement, supposedly they had not actually hooked up.
Liar.
Yeah, she doesn't believe that.
Absolutely not.
You were taking the calls, but she was saying that there's no way
there's
you
no
put
way.
Out a press release if you haven't consummated the relationship.
Well, absolutely
one way
not.
Or another.
That's what's so strange is, why would you get to this point and be lying unless there's even something sketchier going on? Why wouldn't you just come clean?
What if they end up happily ever after married? Will you guys eat your words?
No, because it's still how they handle it.
I mean, but if you're in love with somebody,
no, and
I guess
said
I don't
that
understand.
When we talked about this a few weeks ago, I said, don't come for me, but I do understand to a point falling in love with someone and not being able to do anything about it. But you can, at this point, the way she's handling it is like, okay, she better be with him forever because she's losing everything
yeah.
else and she has absolutely no backbone.
Well, and I love the fact that she ran off and cried. I don't know if it was this past, or it was one of the teasers that they played.
She
cried.
Being Amanda.
She cried, and everyone on the other couch, everyone who's mad at them was like, West, go after her. Go after your woman. And
he's
just
a weenie.
Sat there.
He is such a weenie. He said like two words all of the episode.
I'm telling you, I just as a guy, and I'm not even watching the show, I don't know this dude, but I know what he did committed him to he's now committed to Amanda in a way he probably didn't want to be.
100%.
He didn't think it through, and now he's caught and has to at least hang out through this episode or through this series or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he can say, peace, it's too controversial.
And I bet he's
and
hooking
not,
up with other people too this
he
whole
must
time. Because
be,
like, I think he's addicted to hot women.
Right.
Once things are like, that's what I was trying to say about getting back with someone. Once it feels shameful and everyone's looking at you
mm-hmm.
like, ew,
mm-hmm.
you two, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel fun anymore. And I imagine
right.
it's like.
And that's all he's in it for.
I don't want to be a villain.
I
want to go, you know, have fun.
I don't know. I think maybe he does like being a villain.
I think both of them are in it, a large portion of it, for the clout. Because that was his part of the issue with why he wasn't with Sierra after the show aired, is that he had all these women throwing themselves at him. So they both want this fame. I think she thought that Kyle was going to be out and that West was the new hot thing. And that's why she attached her wagon to Kyle's star to begin with on the show. She wanted to be on that show. She kept showing up, you know, embarrassing herself, but she got that prize, so to speak. And
this is Amanda you're talking about.
Yeah, with okay. Kyle
way
initially.
Back in the day.
Way back in the day when Kyle was, I mean, she was a booty call, but she was persistent.
Maybe that's what she's always wanted is fame. She certainly got it now.
Yeah.
Summer House.
Two other things I want to say quickly about Summer House before we move on. One, Kyle is still being very supportive of Amanda, even though obviously they're on their way to divorce. And I think that is
Kyle and Amanda are married?
They were married. They're separated.
Oh, and they're on their way.
And
okay.
Prior to this all happening, everyone thought that Kyle was going to have... Kyle behaved horribly this season. But you see it now that Kyle knew something was up. He didn't know this, but she was not...
I wouldn't even blame Wes for what happened in their relationship. They should never have gotten married.
Agreed.
They're both to blame for their horrible relationship, but I do really like how he's been handling himself and supporting Amanda since all of this has been going on. Even last night, Sierra said something to Amanda and Kyle was like, hey, that was a little harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really nice. The other thing I want to say really quick is that Lindsay Hubbard is an absolute queen. She showed up at the reunion in a red dress. She owns the stage and I love how far she's come and I respect her so
Lindsay
much.
Hubbard.
Yes.
Yes.
Who the hell?
I can't even get into that with you right now, Vinny, because we're going to start losing people.
415. Man, now I know how listeners who can't stand Survivor feel.
That's a fair point. Fair point.
Sorry.
Well, next week on the reunion, they're going to be focusing more heavily on the Carl and Lindsay drama, plus even more fallout surrounding Amanda and Wes. So you have plenty of time to catch up.
That's Lindsay Hubbard?
That's Lindsay.
Okay, yeah. She's pretty.
Yeah, she's very pretty. And she's been there since the beginning. Kyle and Lindsay are season one, day one.
She seems, I don't mean this in a negative way, but she seems older than the rest of them.
Oh, she just had a baby, too.
And she's with who?
No one right now.
Who gave her a baby?
Her baby daddy and her broke up.
Oh.
But her and Kyle, or sorry, not Kyle, Carl, who was also on the show, they were engaged. And that ended, and then she became pregnant soon.
It's definitely not his baby.
No, it's not.
Oh,
but
boy.
He's been super supportive of her.
Okay.
It's a lot. If you don't follow the show, I get it. But you should, because it's an excellent show.
All right.
This is high-quality television. Oscar caliber. I might be exaggerating a little
bit. They say here, one of the stories is Lindsay Hubbard, reunion MVP.
Yep.
She's a queen.
She's a queen.
She's a girl's girl. Which is more than I can say.
Now.
Well, that's true. You're right. She hasn't always been. My bad.
Yeah.
You guys want to move on? You got one more? All right. Should we do Lil Wayne?
Oh, yeah.
Lil Wayne has gotten engaged. He quietly proposed.
What?
Yep. Earlier this year to his longtime girlfriend, and he apparently intentionally kept the relationship extremely private, which is why fans were blindsided by the news. They were like, what? Who is he even seeing?
What?
And the internet immediately went into, you know, meltdown mode with longtime fans joking that they are not okay. What is he, like 5'2"?
I don't know anything about that, but he has a great commercial. I don't know if it's for Amazon, but it's one of those where he's talking to one of the AI voices and they're talking about a party that's coming up and it's actually for his niece or someone, or maybe his daughter, I don't know, but and the voice goes, and so do you still want the dancers? And he goes, cancel, no, don't cancel the dancers, move them to another day. I don't know, it's very funny to me, but I just got a little window into what that guy's life might be like. Maybe it's all fluff. I don't know.
I have it if you want to hear it real quick.
Look at you.
How do you have it?
I find things.
He's a professional is what he is.
Cute. Very cute. I thought. You know, no dancers at the 5-year-old's party.
I love him.
That's cute.
All right, so he's getting married.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone's getting married.
And she's real young, too.
Is she?
I believe so. I believe she's maybe in her 20s.
How old is he?
43.
Yeah. Oh, that's it? Well, he seems older.
He's been around
a
while.
He's been around since he was a little kid. Like,
yeah,
basically.
He was a young person phenom, like child star.
I did an interview with him once, and he started writing raps when he was like 8 or 9 or 10, and his parents made a decision. They told him, listen, we're going to support you in this, but this is, but you still have to do this, this, and this. You have to finish school. You have to do this, but we will let you start rapping it. And he started at 12, I believe, is when he like got his first signed deal or anything. But like his parents really like had a thing for, and he followed through on all the stuff. Them.
I don't know how true it is. And I realize people like to, you know, mythologize themselves and others will help where that's needed. But one of the stories about Lil Wayne is that he doesn't write down his own lyrics when he goes in to record. And the idea that you could go in to a studio with the studio, the money, you know, the cost to get into a studio, I'm sure maybe they do it on
impressive.
A computer. But to just spit that live and get that down, like, that is really impressive beyond.
I can't rhyme to save my life, and even to, just, I have right. to go bed, kid.
Full albums of it. Yeesh.
What's coming up in the news?
This is right here in the Bay Area, a very unique land purchase after these.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bay Area, good morning.
Coffee, please.
Wake up with Sarah and Vinny.
This is amazing!
Ah! Every morning on Alice.
97.3.
Alice 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Appreciate you being here with us. We're live. Sarah's out. Mason's in. And we're doing news for you now. This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. For 60 years, SOS Meals on Wheels has delivered more than just a warm meal. They deliver hope. That's 60 years of warm smiles, wellness checks, and unwavering care. And Fremont Bank is proud to stand behind SOS Meals on Wheels every step of the way. Join us in celebrating their incredible milestone and the difference they make in our community. Visit SOSMOW.org today. Thanks, Fremont Bank. This story I'm doing, we don't usually do the hard, scary news, but I was just walking down the street the other day and posted from Stevens Creek. I'm walking down Stevens Creek. I got my cars getting worked on, and I'm walking over to Valley Fair Mall.
One of your best posts. I thought it was a really good post.
I enjoyed it as well, but of course, Bob just laughs and laughs.
Crapped all over it.
Laughs and laughs.
No, I just said LOL.
Yeah, but I know what you meant, which was... What a crappy post.
This the one where you just took it from the sidewalk?
Yeah. Well,
What's wrong with that?
I was on the sidewalk.
He's doing content.
Like, yeah. That should, if you were on the beach, yes. A beautiful surroundings, you can get away with that. But it was a concrete jungle.
Well, all right. So I'm walking to Valley Fair Mall to go to the food court. I got some spicy chicken and rice at the Thai place. Anyway, this is right in the same spot. A possible road rage incident ended in a shooting Tuesday afternoon. That's yesterday at Valley Fair Mall in San Jose. Officers were called to a parking lot just after 4 p.m. for a report of a person that was shot. They arrived to find the victim suffering from at least one gunshot wound. The victim was taken to an area hospital and is in stable condition. They have arrested, and they're calling it a road rage incident. Road rage incident. This is so scary to me that areas that lots of people frequent. That is Santana Row Mall, Valley Fair Mall. It's families, kids.
I mean, once you have, like, I had this happen a few months ago. Somebody threw some trash out their window.
Oh, yeah.
I beeped at them, and then they were starting to try to swerve and hit me and hit me off the side of the road. I will never. Ever beep at anybody again for anything, because that once you have that scare, I mean, because you just don't realize that there are people out there who just they just are waiting.
They're not waiting.
They're waiting to go nuts on somebody, and you're going to be that person.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd mention that real quick. They did arrest the person, it looks like, but shooting over what's the matter?
Nothing.
But you've got this smile on your face, like something's going on.
I'm a horrible person in the car. I rage in the car. I'm a horrible person. I wouldn't shoot anyone, but
what?
but I go 0 to 60 in the car. If I die, 9 times out of 10, I'm guessing I'll probably go from a road rage incident that I yelled at the wrong person. I beeped at the wrong person. I flipped off the wrong person.
Have you ever swerved at somebody or rode their?
No, but I've definitely, like, I've had someone like hit the back of my car with their hand and I've rolled down my window. Don't you ever touch my F, you know. Oh, yeah. I would not be surprised if one day I got my mouth got me in
trouble.
And
why do you, so you're saying that and you've got a smirk on your face, but is it just a temper problem?
It's
or
a temper
what is
problem
this?
In okay. the car. I don't really have a temper anyplace else, but in the car, I go 0 to 60. Like, wow. I rage. I hate being inconvenienced in the slightest by people not doing, you know, too below the speed limit. I'm a horrible person in the car, and I recognize that.
Well, you know,
be careful.
Yeah,
I know. I know.
It's really, that's why I did the story. Be careful out there.
I know.
That's the point.
I need to be a better person. That's what I'm working on day by day.
A bizarre real estate listing in San Francisco has gone viral because the parcel of land is underwater.
Oh dear.
The asking price was $250
as in million?
No, $250.
Oh.
For a 5,000 square foot piece of fully submerged land. It wound up selling for $800. The lot sits
even in
near,
this market, it goes for more.
The lot sits near Candlestick State Park and Hunters Point Shipyard. You know where that is. Candlestick is no more, but that was the spot that, you know, we all watched the Niners play for many, many years. The listing described the underwater plot as a unique opportunity for creative ownership with possibilities like recreation and strategic land banking. I don't know what that means. Apparently, there will be more of these underwater lot offerings near Hunter's Point, and they're expected to hit auction soon. What they say, as I looked further into this about it, is these spots were, like, you know how you hear the marina was kind of built up on a dump yard?
Yeah. Old ships, all kinds of stuff. I mean, the whole Embarcadero, that whole area was underwater at some point.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And they're saying that this was expected to be filled in and never got that, but that's why it was parceled. Hmm. So it's underwater.
So you could fill it in.
Could you? I mean, it seems like a pretty big job to fill in.
Not with that attitude.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't
through
know.
Through Christ,
but
all things are possible.
Amen.
I mean, if you bought a bunch of trash and piled it in there, and then you built like a wall to keep more water from coming in.
It's a lot. Decades ago, the city had planned to fill in parts of the bay and sell the land. The filling eventually stopped. But the property line stayed, and so that's why these things are parceled. But $800
$800 for a big liability. I mean, you probably have to.
That's a good point.
Do all sorts of stuff to make sure nobody goes in there.
It's one of those dark thoughts that someone might have, where they say, "Well, I mean, you know, with climate change, will we have more water or less? Who knows?" But it's a gamble. I hear they're talking about how the city, and especially the Embarcadero that you just mentioned, will be underwater at some point. So I don't see it getting better, but maybe that's what they were thinking, is this could be, I don't know, $800. I could do so. I could buy a new surfboard with that.
How much are surfboards?
$800.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that for a good one or just?
Yeah.
Okay.
New one.
Good to know.
Let's see here. I wanted to do this story for you guys. Volunteers in Oakland, California.
Oaktown!
Have spent 30 years restoring Saucel Creek, transforming it into a thriving ecosystem with native plants and wildlife. The all-volunteer group has replanted tens of thousands of native species, removed invasive plants, and monitored water and fish health. Their efforts have helped support rare species, including rainbow trout and endangered plants. I looked it up. What is it under? The Friends of that's not the one. The Friends of Saucel Creek. It's a website. If you're interested in helping out or just want to know, maybe you've got an area that you could work on in your hometown. It's really neat. Saucel Creek.
Oh my gosh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really neat. And it's right there in Oakland.
It's got redwoods around it and everything.
So we have some areas where I live in Santa Cruz, and a lot of these things are monitored or maintained by the Land Trust of Santa Cruz. And it's another situation where they build mountain biking trails in order to sort of keep people from doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. And they also protect and block off people from going off the paths so that they can keep the plant life healthy and booming. And I think it's really neat. And so Oakland, way to go.
Go Oakland.
Sossel Creek is thriving. Check it out. I mean, if you're in Oakland or Alameda.
I know, right there.
Let's see here. Next story. A man cut pickleball and tennis nets because his summer was ruined.
By the pickleball players, I bet.
Listen to this story. A 31-year-old in Pennsylvania named Saif Kalim is facing charges after police say he vandalized the pickleball and tennis court nets. Their surveillance footage allegedly showing him cutting the net, the pickleball net, and he was caught vandalizing the courts at another park 2 days later. They zeroed in on him after getting tips from the community and confronted him at his home, and he said, "I did it." When asked why, he said, "I suffered a pickleball injury and my summer was ruined, and so I was angry." So he ruined the courts for everyone else. Why is that funny?
I just, pickleball people, they just
the pickleball people.
Yeah, they're just all, they're loud and they're obnoxious and they just don't need to be on my tennis courts. Get away. Go away. I cut down the pickleball court.
Don't do that, please.
I call the cops on you.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
For my stamp party people, and I know you're out there, probably over 70, but who knows?
Oh, like stamps.
Stamps.
Not like stomp.
No, stamps. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. As on Sunday, the United States Postal Service announced that Mr. Rogers' stamp from 2018 has won an encore stamp contest and will be reissued. So if you voted and you wanted Mr. Rogers back, he's back, everyone.
Who wouldn't?
What the heck? Where did you even find that?
Just looking around. Do you know who Mr. Rogers is?
Yes.
Come on, I can't say I ever watched him,
but I'm familiar with his game.
I didn't really watch him, but I'm certainly familiar with him, but I'm of his era, so I don't know why you'd know. Why would you know?
That's a part of pop culture still. Okay. She's tuned into pop culture. She's got her finger on the pulse.
I try.
I don't know. Don't know what that was.
What do you mean you don't know? You both just did the same thing.
It was crackhead behavior. I don't know.
Okay.
I've never done crack.
I haven't either. She prefaced it, so then I had to.
Did I scare you?
Well, no. I mean, I. You just told us that when you went to that wedding last weekend, you stayed up all night.
Yes. So she had to have done crack because she stayed up.
I mean, there must have been some substances involved. Was it coffee?
Lots of coffee.
Okay, sure.
Just trying to get her in trouble with the popos.
They're constantly asking me these questions.
They want you to be drunk.
They can't believe that I can just have fun with my pure vibes that I bring, you know, the life force coming out of me.
Do you believe it? For a lot of the country, school's already out. For some of us, it's the countdown is on. My kids, I think, finish next Friday. So this week, next week, school's out for the summer. Parents are tripping. This is the time of year when everybody's got to find something to do with their kids. Otherwise, no work's getting done.
Oh, my mom was always so excited for me when it was summer. She's like, "I can't wait for it to be summer."
And then what was your deal? Did you go to camp?
Yes, I went to camp. My mom was like, you don't have to go if you don't want, but I don't want to be by myself. So I always went to day camp.
So she's saying that, but she wasn't planning to entertain you.
I remember when I was in first grade and I was really stressed out. And my mom kept saying like for weeks, oh, it's almost summer. Don't worry. Summer's coming. I'm so excited for summer. And then I found out that she still had to work. I thought when summer came, we were going to get to hang out together the whole time. I was so upset.
Yeah, she's got to work. So yeah.
I didn't know. I was six.
What do you do? I can't remember what, because my mom was a teacher, so she was out when I was out.
But there you go.
What do parents normally do when you still have to work, but the kids are too young to be by themselves?
That's what I'm saying. You either have to go to summer camp or you have to plan family
trips.
But
that costs money.
Yes.
So what do you do if you don't have money to afford?
The kids spend their summer alone.
Yeah.
At the house. Watching a screen.
Hey, I wouldn't be half as funny as I am now if I hadn't watched as much TV as I had.
Well, I mean,
it's called research.
Part of that is I think sometimes you feel like a sitcom has a certain specific standard that has to be kept up, but they're not watching sitcoms like you probably were. They're watching YouTube.
I was watching Roseanne.
You don't know what your kid is watching.
True. The dark web is out there too.
Well, let's hope they can't figure. I mean, I can't find that.
I can't get there either. I don't know where to
go. I'm sure if I put my mind to it, I could do it, but I don't want to.
Although, you know what? From out of nowhere, my kid, who is now texting, she doesn't have actual service. It has to be on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
But in the house, she can text, and she texted me.
There's Wi-Fi everywhere, by the way, just so you know.
I just she changed my background screen. Like,
cute.
When I went to her, like, when I pull up her, like, I'll give you an example. There's
your conversation.
Yeah, our conversation. That's black, okay? It's just blacked out background. When I pull her up, it's a picture from her.
Yeah, it's you can change the settings in the group chat
is
settings.
Is that new?
What?
You can
How
name
can
your
I
chat.
Change? I want to change it back. I don't want her to be able to put stuff in my phone.
No, it's your group chat. It's not your in your phone. It's in the group in your group chat.
Oh, it's the group chat. Gotcha.
It's okay.
I don't want it.
It's your daughter's beautiful face.
I know, but she already figured out how to change stuff.
Well,
like, that is
get used to it.
Crazy.
I'll show you.
Okay, thank you.
My parents just got iPhones, and let me tell you, that was an ordeal having
to
go over
to train
to their
them
house.
Up.
Oh my God, I wanted to just.
Oh my God, I can't imagine switching to iPhone in my 70s.
I know.
From
and
what?
I get phone calls. They had Androids, I don't know, whatever they had. I mean, it was a smartphone, but not like a flip phone or anything.
Isn't iPhone easier than Android?
But
it
you're
is.
So used to the one way things
right.
work, and then you move to
a different interface.
Else.
I don't know.
I want it. They call me, and they get upset if I don't drop everything to come see them and help them.
Are you an only child?
Yes, I am. Mm. It makes
pressure's
the,
on.
Yeah. It explains a lot if you really think about it.
It does.
Yeah.
800-400-3697 is our number. I want to make room for a few texts here. Let's see what the people have to say. Maddie's on the show.
Got a lot of texts. 650, some schools have summer camps that are grant-funded and free for families.
Okay.
However, space is limited. 650 also says SF Zoo Camp still has spaces for kids, pre-K through 6th grade.
So. Oh, I love this.
All of this stuff is, like, if you have kids, you've already started this process. I would think you have, where you start going, I've got 2 whatever months to fill, and you start looking at calendar. Okay, I can get camp for 3 weeks, and then maybe a visit from Nona for 2 weeks, and then you're just trying to piece together some way to keep your kids
entertained.
That's
got to be stressful.
It's not easy.
I bet our wonderful sponsor, the YMCA, has a lot of camp options, too.
They have a lot of camps.
Nice.
Thank you very much for encouraging people to volunteer out in nature, Vin. That's what I'm doing in Coopville, Washington and Huntington Beach, California, while listening to y'all on Odyssey.
I know Coopville, Washington.
You do?
I love Coopville. That's where I think the Oyster Fest is. It just was. It's it would be Island, I think, right? Could be saying wrong. Oh, it's a text, so they're not going to respond back to me.
Yeah, they can't say. Yeah.
Anyway, just nod.
No, that's great.
Yes, yes, it's yeah. 510, the pickleball people are probably also the road rage people. I would agree. They're just awful people. 510, Maddie, don't hate pickleball. Maybe you should try it sometimes. Get some exercise,
Maddie,
and some vitamin D. You
How
might enjoy
that?
Yourself.
How about that?
I play tennis.
Maddie and I were supposed to go to a Giants game on Monday, and he canceled on me last minute.
I bailed out. I had work. I had finals to grade. I put them off.
That's not what you told me. You said you had brunch plans. So now it's changing.
I had brunch plans.
Yes, you did.
Brunch plans.
I never had.
Let me see. I never said I had brunch plans. I don't go to brunch. I mean, I would.
I have been reading things wrong, so I would be a little frightened. No. Oh, it says a bunch. Oh my God.
I have a bunch of stuff.
I really need to get my eyes checked, you guys. I literally thought it said brunch plans.
That would be so funny to cancel on someone and be like, sorry, a really good brunch came up. I can't pass it up.
I'm sorry.
I've been craving waffles.
That's why you were kind of giving me the side eye.
I am dead. I have got to get my eyes checked. I literally thought you had brunch.
Nope. 707. I don't own property in California yet. There's my chance with the underwater stuff.
$800. You got some underwater land.
Well, this person says that 418, that the land is built on areas that need to be cleaned up. So if you buy the land, you might have to clean up what's underneath of the water there.
I mean, I can see why someone would say for $250, why not? Like, whatever. Whatever it becomes, it's yours. But you got to have that kind of money to throw away because I don't see it anytime soon.
248. I'm actually bummed out by how many sports camps we've scheduled for our four kids. I'm on full on taxi this summer.
Yeah.
Why can't they just hang out at the pool?
Yeah, I want my kids to do art at home. I don't want to be driving you someplace, especially at 5 a.m.
Hopefully Waymo can take my kids wherever they need to go by the time I have them. Bye.
Mommy loves you.
Kisses.
707. Note for Mason's next boo. Always drive, never be a passenger. Princess in the car.
No kidding. Yikes.
I mean, you got a look on your face like you just felt.
I feel guilty, incredible guilt. I mean, I'm screaming at little old ladies.
I looked over and you had a devious smile on your face. I'm thinking, what is she tripping on? But okay.
I was like, I am the horrible person that you are talking about.
All right.
510. Hey, everybody. Don't forget about the libraries. They have all summer reading challenges that give free books out to kids.
And you can watch movies and stuff there, too. You can rent movies. It's true.
Mason, yes, they are on Whidbey Island, by the
way.
Yay,
I love
back.
Whidbey Island.
Hey, before we tap out, because we need to, and Mason's going to do trash, we should remind everyone what Bob's Movie Club is real quick. What is that?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Tomorrow we're talking about it, right?
Yes.
So it's Wednesday?
Yeah.
We got to get that done.
I got to do my homework.
I watched it last night, and I'm so happy that she picked it.
It's on Paramount Plus, right?
Yeah.
You can watch it there.
Yeah. You can also rent it anywhere if you don't have Paramount Plus.
I've watched it before, but I'll watch it again.
What's coming up in the trash, Mace?
How much money would you pay for Sydney Sweeney's bathwater? You'll find out shortly.
All right.
Wake up with Sarah and Vinny.
They're great. They're awesome every morning.
Every morning on Alice 97.3.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.